Welcome to the Innate Vitality Code podcast, your source of science-backed information and inspiration on holistic healing, building resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. I'm your host, Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm an integrative physician, acupuncturist, and positive psychology neuroscience nerd. For over 20 years, I've been healing and teaching in my wellness practice, in the media, on stages, and around the world, as part of my soul's mission to end suffering and raise the consciousness on the planet. This podcast does not provide medical advice or psychotherapy. Consult your healthcare provider before implementing what you hear on this show. Hello, hello, beautiful soul. We're live on Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. It is wonderful to be back live on the platforms. I am Dr. Andrea Pennington, and I'm super excited because today I'm being joined by a very dear friend, a colleague, a fellow superpowered angel of light and love, Dr. Jill Stocker. And today we are going to be talking about hormones. Yes, you heard me right. Hormones. How are they impacting your life? I shared this on social media. We're specifically going to be talking about how hormones impact your mood, your weight, your ability to focus, your ability to sleep. And of course, no talk about hormones would be complete if we didn't talk about your libido. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They have previously called me the orgasm doctor, having been the author of the orgasm prescription for women. And my guest today has previously been known as Dr. Juicy Jill Stocker because she teaches how to reclaim your juiciness. And yes, a lot of that is impacted by our hormones. So my guest today, Dr. Jill Stocker, is a DO, that is a doctor of osteopathic medicine. So not only is she a brilliant physician, she has magical skills in her hands to do these magical manipulations. But it's really cool because we both started out in family practice, primary care docs, and well, I'm going to let her tell her story, but she found out about the magic of hormone optimization. And we both ended up doing our training at the same place, the Senogenics Medical Institute. And age management medicine is what we're talking about. This is not treating age-related diseases. That's, you know, geriatrics. But age management is literally preventive medicine at its best. It's, of course, including hormone optimization, but also your lifestyle, your food, your stress, your environment. It really is a holistic approach. And I love that my guest, Dr. Juicy Jill, is really all about consciousness as well and intentional wellness. We have a lot to explore in today's session because we're even going to open up the discussion into psychedelics. But wait, we're not ready for that yet. Dr. Jill Stocker, thank you so much for joining me for another conversation.
I'm so grateful. Thank you for having me. I actually remember our first conversation several years ago on one of these, and I was so nervous. And you're like, honey, it's just a conversation.
That's right.
And it is. And it's going to be a juicy one. I'm super excited about it, about all the things that we're going to talk about. And I'm very grateful for, you know, not only my hormonal awakening that I share, but because of you, I've been able to actually identify that and then share that to help so many others. And that's led to, you know, my spiritual awakening, sexual awakening, kundalini awakening, and all of that juiciness.
It is so amazing. Oh my gosh. It's so much. There's so, so much. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, maybe we should start at the beginning. Obviously, we will have more of these conversations. I want to let our viewers know, if you have a question about hormones, you can type it in the chat. And when we get to the Q&A section, I will read them out. So Jill, one of the things that I'm super grateful for is that you have helped me optimize my hormones, which has led to greater energy, productivity, a stable mood. I'm sleeping like a baby, and also keeping, you know, my body healthy and strong. But before we get to me and what you've done for me, why don't you just tell us a little bit about how you discovered hormone optimization and switched your career to focus on this. Tell us about your hormonal awakening.
I would love to. So I'm Dr. Jill, and some people know me as Dr. Juicy Jill, and some people just know me as Dr. Jill Stalker. You know, it's all the different parts of me. So I started off in traditional medicine, traditional family medicine, and I loved it for, you know, as long as I was doing it, because I didn't really know any different. And it was about 10 years ago that I had some patients that I listened to, and I learned the power of listening to your patients. And I hadn't seen them for a while, and they had lost a bunch of weight. They looked great, felt great. And I was like, what are you doing? And they said, we're seeing this hormone doctor. And I said, well, what is this stuff? I didn't learn this in medical school, because they don't teach it in medical school. So I started finding, you know, mentors and programs and trainings to learn more about this. And I didn't even realize at the time I was going through my own hormonal decline. I was in my mid to late 30s, and I had never heard of really, you know, what the symptoms were aside from hot flashes and night sweats. I just, you know, I was tired all the time. I was losing my hair, and I was cold a lot. And I just figured, I was working full time, I had three small children, this is just kind of the way it's supposed to be. And fast forward to my first training, where I met a mentor, and I had been told that, you know, my labs were normal by my regular doctor, and that there was no treatment for my hair loss or my other symptoms. And I just thought, well, that's not acceptable. And so I spoke with this mentor at one of the conferences, and she's like, honey, your thyroid's totally underactive, even though my labs were perfect. And I also remember, like, I really think that there are key conversations, like, throughout, like, all of our lives, at least for me, that they don't necessarily resonate at the time, but maybe later I'll remember things and I'm like, oh, that stuck in my mind for a reason. So I do remember as a regular doctor, traditional doctor, treating people with thyroid, who said, well, I feel better at this end of the spectrum versus this, as far as the labs go. So I was like, okay, well, as long as you're in that normal, because that's what we learn in right. medical school is normal. And so I was so grateful for this woman, and she gave me some thyroid. And the first morning that I took that thyroid pill, I literally felt like I woke up to my life. And it was like I could see again, you know, like for people that wear contacts, it's like falling asleep with your contacts in and waking up and just like, oh my gosh, I can see.
Right.
And I just felt like this is the way I'm supposed to feel. And I didn't even realize like how bad I felt until I felt better. And, you know, one of the things that you mentioned is, you know, we have a lot of the same training, and some people, you know, when they ask, well, what do you do? Doctor doesn't quite cut it, because I feel like what I do now, you know, what I used to be was just the traditional doctor. Yeah. And now that I've gotten into this field and I've had that hormonal awakening, which led me on to other paths of learning about spirituality and consciousness and other, you know, orgasm, sexual healing, all of the above. I feel like, you know, the wave of the future is more conscious medicine, not even just preventive medicine. It's conscious medicine and intentional living. And, not just medicating people. So many doctors, you know, the average average time that a doctor listens to their patient before interrupting is 11 seconds. 11 seconds,
yeah.
You know, and then we put them in an in-the-box diagnosis and, you know, and put them on traditional medication instead of actually listening to hear what's going on so we can celebrate.
Yeah.
I now listen to, I had a patient yesterday that I listened to for almost 2 hours.
Wow.
And I didn't give her one thing in that session except for listening, being heard without being interrupted, and acknowledgement of how she was feeling. And she left there with already on starting her healing journey.
Yeah, that is like such an important point that now studies are showing that the more a physician is empathic and quiet and listening, that creates the container that starts the healing process. Like there's actual studies that showed if two people came in with like the common cold symptoms and one was treated with empathic, warm attention, and then they gave general advice, and another group was treated by a qualified doctor who didn't show any empathy or listening, just gave the same exact advice, the outcomes for the people who were treated with compassion and empathy were better, meaning they had fewer days of symptoms and they recovered faster. So I love that, but I want to rewind one thing, especially for people who may not know about hormone optimization. So you said something about being in the normal range. So just for everyone listening, when we went to medical school, for me, 20 years ago, we were taught to look at the bell curve. So typically when drugs are studied and they look at a population to see, you know, what effect, how, what is the minimum dose to get to an effect, and how much is toxic, and where do people's numbers typically lie? So for most regular traditional doctors, if they draw your blood, like Jill said, they're going to know that there's a range that's considered normal. But that range is actually based on a bell curve. And so you might be in the normal, but on the low side. And if you have symptoms, the way that Jill and I function is we want to move you up still in that normal range with hormone optimization. It's not about getting you supra normal, like off the chart. It's still keeping you in the normal range, but moving you up to where you don't have symptoms or where your body is functioning better. So I think that's an important distinction because many of you might say, oh, well, I have my hair falling out. I don't have energy. I'm moody. I'm gaining weight. I'm cold all the time. Is it my thyroid? You go to your doctor and they tell you, oh, you're in the normal range. It may not actually be normal. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Jill, do you have anything else to add?
I do. Did you sense it? I was going to say, I'm going to go one further. It's not just, you know, alleviation of the symptoms. It's actually getting people to be filled with vitality and getting into thriving mentality instead of just surviving mentality. Like, oh, I feel better. You know, I just want to feel like myself again. Well, we're never going to feel like we were 20 years ago because we're different. Every day we're different. And my goal is to get you, you know, feeling the best version of you right now. And then next year, I want the next best version of you. And it's not just hormonally and physically, it's mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and sexually. You know, it's all related. And I always ask my patients, you know, what are your goals and what is your dream? You know, I had a patient that early on talked about their dream and I had to think to myself, well, wait, what's my dream?
Mm-hmm.
And this was early on my process of transitioning out of family medicine and only doing this. And I had just been on that hamster wheel of doing and in this career that I thought I was just stuck in and supposed to stay in. And then I had that rumbling of like wanting more. And I just kept following that little rumbling. And that's how I met you, watching one of your lives where you shared vulnerably. And that was just like, that was absolutely not told taught in medical school to share anything with yourself. And one thing I realized was I just felt like I was talking from an old script when I entered this new field. And I remember the first time I shared any little bit about myself with, I shared about my hormonal awakening with thyroid. And then it, you know, became more and more. And this woman's eyes lit up and she was like, oh my gosh, I felt so alone. And I thought, oh, okay, this is what I meant to do, is continue sharing, because we're all one common humanity. And I continuously learn from my patients, you know, and one of them yesterday shared something that was so key, and it like really put things in perspective as far as like why I do what I do, and why I share about certain things is, you know, they said, I didn't want my pain to be in vain. And so now he shares his story with certain people. And the same thing, I didn't want my suffering that I went through. And as you know, I went through, you know, a whole almost 20 years of being misdiagnosed with depression. And the true cause was hormone imbalance. And
well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, because you came here to the south of France and presented at our Global Luminary Activation Experience, and you shared some really shocking statistics about the number of people who are misdiagnosed. So let's really get into that. What could a hormonal imbalance look like on the outside such that someone might be misdiagnosed?
Yeah, so one in five women traveling through perimenopause, and I really don't like to use terms because it's just labels, you know. Ultimately, our hormones are always declining. We're in a constant state of decline as we're aging, and the goal is to optimize so that we can live to be 100, and not just live and exist to 100, but actually like live and be alive until we're 100. And so, you know, they say perimenopause is, you know, there's different labels for it. Basically, it's hormone decline, which can be, you know, lack of energy, brain fog, difficulty sleeping, mood changes, anxiety, depression, hair loss, dry skin, dry vagina, and sexual dysfunction with men and with women. And I actually treat men as well, and they go through all of these same things as well. They don't obviously have the menstrual irregularities, but they get the mood swings, they get the easy irritability, they get the brain fog, the lack of focus. And so one in five of those women that are traveling through that change get misdiagnosed with depression. And the very same exact symptoms that are used to diagnose somebody with depression, anxiety, and mood disorder or bipolar disorder are the same exact symptoms of hormone decline. And I was that doctor that used to treat that. And I actually came out, you know, into practice right as the Women's Health Initiative came out. And all of a sudden I had to take all these women off of hormones because and put them on antidepressants to treat their symptoms. And it's really, you know, not the answer, not the solution. And I share, because you've been able to share your story, I'm able to share mine. But when I was in medical school, I started having severe PMS and would get like really bad, you know, just couldn't really function the week before my period. I went to my doctor about it, and she put me on vitamin P, Prozac, for something that was clearly hormonal. And I just needed to function. Like, I just needed to move forward. And it worked until it didn't. And then, you know, the next thing and the next thing, until I found this field. And I realized that was never the problem. It was truly my hormones. And so that's why I speak publicly about it. I've spoken to my medical society about it, about, you know, how the doctors really need to start listening to their patients. And I also try and teach for patient advocacy. You know, if you know that something is wrong, if you feel off and your doctor is saying something's normal and they're not listening, go find another doctor.
Amen.
That will listen to you. So.
Yeah, I think it is scary, the number of people who don't know and wouldn't reflexively think, oh, let me check my hormones, you know, for low mood or not being able to sleep. So I want to back up, because you mentioned the Women's Health Initiative. And of course, when we talk about hormones, most people just think of, they don't think of thyroid right off the bat. They're like, oh, I don't have any thyroid condition. My doctor checked me. I'm fine. So we've just talked about thyroid. Boom. But the other piece of it are the sex hormones. So estrogen, progesterone, absolutely, and testosterone. Let's talk about the Women's Health Initiative, because that is something that scared a lot of women away from hormone replacement therapy.
Absolutely. And it's really important that people be educated that there are plenty of studies out there regarding bioidentical hormones. The hormones that were studied in the Women's Health Initiative were synthetic hormones that are actually from horse urine, pregnant mare's urine.
Yeah,
and that's what we were taught to treat women with that were traveling through menopause. And you know, what they didn't share with us is a lot of the people that were in that study weren't healthy to begin with. They had pre-existing conditions. So they didn't give us all the information. They just basically gave us this huge message that hormones are bad. And that's not the case. It's really important to be an informed consumer and informed patient. Bioidentical hormones are exactly like the body. So there are specialty compounding pharmacies. Yes, it is still in a pharmacy, but they are making them so that they're exactly like your body. So your body recognizes it as the same, you know, component, compound, and says, oh, okay, you know, now we're talking, now we can start functioning. Instead of, you know, there's like 17 different estrogens in Premarin, and that not any one of them is exactly the same as ours. So that was kind of the biggest thing that came out of there, is it just like scared so many women, and they thought that hormones were bad. It's really the type of hormones, and also the patient and their pre-existing conditions, what their risk factors are. There's so many components to, you know, how I administer hormones. You know, some of them, you know, it's not just to help you look great, feel great, have great sex. I'm going to do that, but I also want to help reduce your risk for heart attack, stroke, depression, Alzheimer's disease. And, you know, so estrogen and progesterone are, you know, two of the key hormones for women, but men also have estrogen in their body too. And it's all about getting the adequate balance, and even balancing those, when those are imbalanced, can cause problems with your mood. So some of the other studies that I quoted when I was speaking was, you know, progesterone, as we age, drops, and then that can cause issues with sleep. So insomnia, it can cause anxiety. As women travel through hormone imbalance, they start having just random anxieties, like flight anxiety, fear of flying, even if you've been flying all your life, agoraphobia, not wanting to go out anymore and be around people. And, you know, these are kind of like things that people wouldn't really talk about, but they're real.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other thing is, people may say, well, I don't feel, you know, depressed and I don't feel anxious, but I do get really angry. Well, in that perimenopause period, there's studies that show that when you're declining, that women would have anger attacks, is what they would call them. And balancing their levels is something that would really help, and help them actually travel through life situations. They were talking about, you know, when women are having imbalanced hormones, they don't deal with life stressors as well. So divorce, loss of a loved one, any type of like work stress, illness, they just don't cope as well. And that ultimately leads to inflammation, which is at the base of so many different diseases. And then I don't want to leave out the men. There was a study in 2019 that showed testosterone by itself, elevated levels of treatment of that for men significantly reduced their symptoms of depression. And, you know, a lot of men think that testosterone is really only to do with sex drive or sexual function. So if they think everything's working good in the bedroom, then their testosterone's fine. And that's not actually accurate. 1 in 5 men under 40 has low testosterone. And that can look like lack of energy, not gaining muscle like they used to, more difficult time recovering after workouts. You know, that movie, what is it? Angry Old Men or something like that.
Grumpy Old Men.
Grumpy Old Men. Yeah, this is true. And they can get emotional too. You know, and then also the brain fog or lack of focus or not feeling like they're, you know, performing that they at the level that they used to, you know, in all areas of their life. And so, and that's just one testosterone, one hormone is testosterone in men. There's, you know, all the whole other symphony of hormones that it's so important to balance all of those.
Yeah. Well, I've definitely been enjoying all of the benefits of your nerdy precision. And just like you said earlier in this broadcast, you said you don't want your patients just doing fine. You want us amazing. And that was a funny thing that when a couple of years ago you were like, you know, girl, you're sounding like... And I was like, no, I'm fine. And you said, well, I don't want you fine. I want you to be amazing. And so when you first, you know, pulled my labs, looked at my thyroid, put me on the thyroid, like that saved me. Because coming out of a period of near burnout, I didn't feel bad, but I just was not energized like I used to be. And then when we added progesterone and I started sleeping, now I'm one of these people that all of my life, I don't need a lot of sleep. 6 hours, great. 5, still great. But when you added progesterone to my regimen, I had something that Helena Philipson was just talking about this morning in the Coffee and Courage. She was talking about that sleep that's like delicious, yummy sleep. Like that's how I sleep now. I wake up like, oh my God, now I know why people love sleep so much. Because before it was just like something you got to do, you know, rest and then get up. So the progesterone, having that has been like remarkable. I mean, we can go into each and every one, but I do want to bring up this question from our beautiful friend, Kali. She says, I'm almost 73. How do you work with women who are very far past midlife?
You still have so much life in you.
But on the hormone spectrum,
On the hormone spectrum, I work with everybody. I mean, I want to say the same, but different. I mean, everybody's different, you know, so everybody has their own story and their own goals and everything. But I have women that are in their 60s and 70s, and they're traveling the world. They feel like they're just starting their lives. They feel the best they ever have. So it really, you know, is the same as, you know, everybody that I treat, you know, it's just a number. So yeah. There's still so much life left in you.
So from the perspective of age management medicine, what is different about the age that you would stop hormone replacement therapy? Because in traditional medicine, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, there's so many things that change in traditional medicine. As once you hit 40 or 50, it's like we're supposed to be done with our life then. And I just say, no, no. And I mean, it has to do with like our annual screenings have changed for pap smears, for mammograms. They're recommending them like once every 5 years. And that's just, I mean, as a previously practicing primary physician, I would catch things in between there and I still would recommend, you know, staying on top of things. And so I, you know, the old paradigm was once you hit menopause or go through the change, then you don't need anything. Mm. Well, that's not true because there's still like a ton of life left.
Yeah.
And it's literally changing the whole paradigm of, you know, not only the medical paradigm, which is a huge thing to have to change, but also like what was handed down to us was, oh, I guess we should start, you know, winding down in our 40s or 50s. And I feel like I'm just getting started and
yeah.
I still have so much
me too.
Left in me. And that's what I want for other people. You know, I want them to pursue whatever they want to pursue, whatever lights them up. And so for me, when people ask me, you know, well, how long am I going to have to take this? Well, for now, I say for the rest of your life, if you want to feel and look amazing and function amazing for the rest of your life, because that's the option we have right now. I wish we had like a reset button where we don't have to take something every day, but I'm so grateful that we do have this. And so I don't stop at a certain age. I don't think that there's a level, you know, with like an 80-year-old, oh, okay, I guess we're done. No.
Yeah, no. So, Kali, the answer to your question is yes, you are a candidate for hormones. So it always starts off with getting a blood draw so that your physician or Jill or whoever can see where you fall in that spectrum. It's not something that it's random. It's precision medicine. So we're actually treating you as an individual, as opposed to in the past, you know, we just sort of had little cookbook recipe of like, okay, just throw this at the patient. But instead, we kind of titrate you up and check your results again and see.
So, but the most important thing is your story, because again, the labs are just kind of a guidepost, because it is that like that old paradigm of like, as long as it's in the normal range, then we're okay. And I also have to re-educate patients because they want to know, well, did my number improve? Well, how do you feel? You know, because that's just a serum level. That's how I'm trained with serum. I am looking into doing the saliva testing. You know, sometimes that's a little bit easier, but most of the studies, the medical studies, that in the way that I'm trained are serum levels. And that's just kind of a snapshot of what's happening in your serum. It doesn't mean it's crossing through the blood-brain barrier to give you like more energy, mental clarity, improve your mood. It doesn't measure the receptors that are there, because, you know, one of the big things with burnout and cortisol is when our cortisol is low, when we're in that burnout stage, our thyroid receptors are 50% less responsive. So your number could look perfect, but you could feel like crap. And that's what I've seen across the board with my patients is like, well, who's sitting in front of me? And how are they feeling and what are they saying? That's the most important thing to me. Yes, I do look at the numbers, but I take all of those things into consideration and then I move forward with the treatment too.
So let's shift a little bit and talk about the juicier side of menopause.
Yeah.
because this is a big issue. You know, I wrote about this in the Orgasm Prescription for Women, that I've had patients, you know, in their eighth decade of life still knocking boots. And for a woman in particular, I mean, we know that generally for a man, as long as he's got testosterone and not too anxious or stressed, he is going to be able to enjoy his sex life. But for a woman, as our hormones decline, there are generally problems in vaginal dryness and atrophy of the tissues, as well as the musculature becoming a little bit lax. Whether that's due to not using it. You know, the vagina is an organ that's kind of like, use it or lose it, baby. But the hormone, yeah, even the dog agrees. She's like,
woo!
So let's talk a little bit about libido and sexual responsiveness as it pertains to our hormones.
Absolutely, the orgasm doctor herself. And it's important to note, it's, you know, it's all of the systems working, including like our mental and emotional system, because as you know, the orgasm starts in the brain. So we have to foster that and foster connection. And so I do talk to my patients about, you know, making sure that they are doing things relating to consciousness, like meditation, if they're in a relationship, or if they're not, you can actually practice Tantra alone. And Tantra people think Tantra is like wild, crazy sex, which
and orgies.
Yeah, but it's more just like this, it's actually the highest form of yoga and higher connection with yourself. And really, wouldn't it be amazing to have like an entire body orgasm instead of just like a cervical orgasm or a vaginal orgasm? Imagine if you could have all of them. So I really try and talk to people about like making sure that they're connected in all ways, and then also communicating with their partner, especially as they travel through their physical changes, because a lot of times there's a lot of shame around, you know, whether it's men or women, but dry vagina happens, and there's nothing to be ashamed of about it. But I, you know, even though I'm a woman, and if I'll be seeing a woman, I have to start the conversation, and then they will slowly open up about it, because there is such shame around it. And as our hormones decline, we lose the secretions, our musculature, You know, it atrophies. We lose sensitivity. We're not able to orgasm as intensely or as easily as we used to. It's not as fulfilling. We may not be able to feel things. And we may not, you know, things may change the way they look down there too, which then makes you feel not sexy. It's like a whole vicious cycle. And so testosterone we need as well for libido, but testosterone also helps with collagen production on the face, on the body, muffin top, it helps with that. So ultimately, you know, if you're not feeling sexy, because that's one thing I will ask people, like, do you feel sexy? And sexy isn't a weight. It's not a look. It's how you feel inside.
So yeah, it's
when
a vibe.
I talk to people about, like, what is that juiciness? What does juiciness mean? Well, it's that inner vitality. And it can mean other things as well. But it's waking you up from the inside. And then so testosterone also helps to kind of rebuild the tissues down in the vaginal wall, which will help with the comfort of sex. Because if you start having like uncomfortable sex because it's dry and your tissues are thin and everything, you're not going to want to do that. It also helps with the sensitivity and the secretions, so you don't have the dryness there.
And so
for men, testosterone,
wait. The same. Wait, hold up. Let's go back to the women. I'm trying to help out the ladies here. And as our friend Kali says, she's got plenty of libido. It's just the men in her generation don't seem to have it. So date younger men.
Let's go to the other generation.
Amen. But let me jump back on the testosterone piece for women specifically. How do you administer testosterone for women?
Great question. I get that a lot. So it really depends on the person, but typically what I'll use is a gel that they apply to their outer labia or outer lady lips. And because, well, some people are like, what are labia? So that's
true.
What that is. And so the reason why is because one, that's kind of the area of interest. If it's going to be applied there, you'll have better uptake. And the tissues are really thin, so it absorbs really well and gets you to optimal levels. And so that's what I usually start with. There are some women that they don't want to touch down there. That's fine. You can actually put it behind your knee, and that gives you similar absorption. We don't have a lot of fat behind our knee, so that's an option. I have gotten a lot of questions recently about pellets and pellet therapy for men and for women. I do not recommend it. I used to do that in my practice, and I was trained on that. But not only did I find this in my clinical experience, but the studies showed this. It's really difficult to achieve optimal levels and optimal consistent levels. So it's a minor surgical procedure that you have to do, you know, depending on how long it lasts, like every 3 to 4 months. Some people will last 6 months. It's usually inserted in the side of the butt. So most women don't want a lot of like scars on their butt. But it's really hard to get optimal and consistent levels. So I don't recommend that, in my clinical experience, and the studies have shown that.
And what about side effects of testosterone?
Okay. One other thing. So there are testosterone injections for people who don't want to do creams. So they're like, I don't want to bother with that. You can actually do injections too for women. And sometimes you can do oral troches, which dissolve. I don't have the best results with those, so I usually stick with the gel and the injections. And then side effects would be increased vitality. And I have had some women that say, like, I don't want to feel like a teenager. I was thinking about it too much. So we have to dial back sometimes with that. So that's one potential side effect. You can get a little fluid retention with that, but that's something that I usually moderate with diet and limiting sodium intake. Some women will get a little bit of enlargement or engorgement of the clitoris, which most of them love. They're like, yeah. I'm not going to lie. I love it. Like, my partner loves it. So that is something, you know, obviously if it starts getting to be like a mini penis, that's a problem. And we would like dial back on that. But most women actually really enjoy that. And, you know, some women will notice like more hair growth, particularly like, you know, a few chin hairs, maybe where they apply it. If that's the case, there are things that we can do to regulate that as well. So, but it's usually really well tolerated, and I don't have any side effects from that. And then the other thing for vaginal health and for our sexual health and vitality is DHEA. And right. that's actually a building block for testosterone that I try and optimize as well. But it has its own properties for lean muscle and anti-aging. And you can take DHEA orally and it helps, but it doesn't have the actual direct effects as a DHEA, either vaginal suppository or cream. And what that does, is it actually helps with the vaginal secretions, so you have more secretions. It helps to build the tissues, build the muscles so that you have more intense orgasms. It helps with the sensitivity and it helps with the inner vitality as well. And it's very, very powerful. It doesn't have any systemic absorption. So for women who are really like scared of any type of systemic hormone, and even for women who have had breast cancer, when they go through treatment, they usually get like severe dryness everywhere, including there. And this is something that can be used that does not cause systemic absorption.
Yeah. Great, great points. The only other thing I would add to your list of side effects of testosterone is acne. But Anyway, moving on. So you were going to talk about testosterone.
Some people.
So you were going to talk about testosterone in men as well. We don't want to leave the guys out. And then we have a question from Donna.
Yeah. So I actually see about 50% of my practice is men. And, you know, it's unfortunate that a lot of men really only know about T because of so many like low T clinics. And it's just one of the hormones that men need. And it's not just about sex drive, sexual function. Testosterone affects your lean muscle mass, your abdominal fat, your energy, your mood, and so much more. And so there's different ways that men can supplement their testosterone. And it really is important to discuss with a guy, you know, depending on their age, if they're wanting to have a family or not. And a lot of men are being given testosterone and not really asked this question. And testosterone can actually reduce your fertility while you're on it. So for younger guys, going to the T clinics or doing the, you know, the black market testosterone and all that, it can be dangerous. So there are safer options. We don't know, like, how long and by how much it reduces fertility, but there are other ways to boost younger guys' testosterone, like Clomid or Clomiphene and HCG. Those are healthier. They still give you the benefits of it, and they help to maintain your or preserve your fertility. The other thing that I get asked is, you know, because there's so much like internet stuff for men and testosterone and supplements, and oh, you should be on a blocker and you should be on this, like, you have to be really safe with the source of what you're taking because it may not be pure. It may have other things in it. More is not always better. Mm. I have seen guys that are taking exogenous testosterone and it can cause cardiomegaly. And the heart is an organ that when that muscle gets big, it doesn't get stronger. It gets weaker and it's irreversible. So more is not always better. No, not every guy needs a blocker. Some men will convert their testosterone to estrogen, which is actually cardioprotective. It helps prevent heart disease. For some men, if they have too much estrogen or they're having symptoms from it, like they're becoming more emotional or they're retaining fluid, then I talk about possibly putting them on a blocker for that.
Got it. So Donna had a question around saliva testing. How does saliva testing differ from plasma testing?
So I'm primarily trained on serum testing. I am actually starting to train with saliva testing to be able to integrate the two. All of the studies, the majority of the studies that are out there are based on serum testings, and I'm very much like a stickler for evidence-based medicine from my training and who I am. And it's just, you know, easier to follow with those things. So I don't have a ton of expertise on the saliva, so I don't want to like misspeak on it, and I just want to be upfront about that. But I'm looking into incorporating that with the serum testing because it is a little bit easier accessible, but also easier medicine or more accessible medicine without like proper direction. I don't recommend that. You know, I'm all for like people having more access to certain things, but I want to make sure that you're actually, you know, having personalized care. I know there's a lot of companies out there that'll send you a kit and have their, you know, doc in a box thing, regimen that they'll spit out and send you. And it's just, it's not customized care. It's not treating you as the full person. And you may feel better or a little better, but you might not be reaping the entire benefits of optimization with those types of tests.
So I think I'll have to have you back so we can talk about peptides, because this has been a new area of age management that you have gently forced upon me as a patient. And I'm actually really benefiting from it. But before we wrap up, I think what would be really helpful is, outside of hormones, you've mentioned mindfulness. What else can we do if we really want to optimize our vitality, and no matter what age we are, but certainly as we're aging?
Yeah, so I mean, consciousness is huge, and that can look different to different people, whatever's going to resonate with them. It's not something I was raised with or was even taught in medical school. It's something I started to learn about just before you and I met and started working together. And then obviously since then, it's been catapulted even further. But the power of mindful living in everything that you do is immeasurable. So not, you know, there's no wrong or right way to meditate. Just find something that resonates for you. And I have found that people, you know, including myself, will have, you know, even more epiphanies or awakenings just from that, as far as like other things that they want to incorporate in their lives. And the other thing that I really teach my patients and people in general is body consciousness. Not, you know, what you look like, but actually being aware of the messages that your body is sending you, and not just trying to medicate it or, you know, get rid of it. And that can be affected by, you know, the energies you're surrounded with. So your, like your inner circle, the top five people that you associate with, really like have an impact on your health. And then also, you know, the nutritional aspect of it. It's not, I'm putting you on a diet or anything. It's, I really try and teach people to fuel their body for energy and mental clarity, and find out what is going to make it work for them, instead of being on a diet and noticing, oh, I feel like crap after I eat that, or after I do that, you know, I feel foggy, I feel moody, I feel achy, and listening to those messages. Because the one thing I did learn in medical school that I keep with me is, you know, your patient will tell you what's wrong with them. So listening to your own inner healer, I think, is the best thing that I can recommend to people. If you feel like something's off, it is. And sometimes you kind of weed through your own daily regimen and find out what it is. And sometimes you need the help of, you know, finding the right practitioner that's going to listen to you to help guide you through all of those things. So it's not just one thing that I recommend. It's kind of a cascade of things. And, you know, because of the other modalities that I've worked with, some people, I will recommend them working with energy healers, things that I've experienced myself, because, you know, I can only do so much. Modern medicine, I think, is only one modality. There's so many other healing modalities that, you know, obviously we've explored.
Yes. Well, we will have to have you back so we can talk about those other modalities. And in particular, you know, Jill and I have been able to be in a very safe setting and experienced plant medicine, you know, a sacred ceremony. And I think psychedelics in the whole conversation of innate vitality and healing and trauma recovery It's a really exciting field, and so much so that Jill and I are going to partner up and do some work in that space. But that's a whole other conversation. Does anyone else have any questions before we wrap up? Type them into the chat. I want to invite you to follow Dr. Jill Stocker on Instagram. She posts there. She goes live. So you go live twice a week. You've got Mindful Mondays and Woke Wednesdays, right?
And I'm adding Fierce Fridays.
Woo! Fierce. Bring it. So what?
I truly believe that, like, my hormonal awakening has allowed me to catapult to these other awakenings and doing all of these projects that I never would have thought of doing before. So.
Yes. Like, Jill is currently in this documentary that I'm shooting, the Resilience documentary. But I have her permission to say that when we first met back in 2017, you guys would not believe it. She would not talk. And when she spoke, she would read. She's like, I can't just say this, so I'm just going to read this to you. And now look at her. She's hosting. She's in the film. Like, the awakening, you know, certainly starts with hormones, but there are all of these other processes, including, you know, learning to share your story. So it's amazing stuff.
Thankful for you for helping coax that out of me. Just like, I wanted more for you. I was like, oh, I want you to feel better. You're like, come on, come on. You're going to be up there. Just keep talking.
Yeah, yeah. I've got to show the world the footage of you in the pink suit on stage. It's like, you can't hold her back now, y'all. Well, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us talking about hormones. Certainly follow Jill on Instagram or her Facebook page as well. And her website is drjillstocker.com. She's also on LinkedIn. You can send her questions. You can watch her lives. And send me your questions. If there's topics that we haven't covered adequately, if you still have questions, feel free to shoot me an email or leave a comment in the comment section and we will get to them. Definitely going to have you back so that we can talk about psychedelics and where we're both going with training to become psychedelic assisted therapy providers and facilitators. Exciting, exciting work.
Yeah.
All right, my
so
friends.
Excited.
Yeah, it is good stuff.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Andrea.
Yes, my pleasure. What a gift. All right, my dear friends, there you have it. This has been 51 minutes of goodness with you. If you enjoyed this, please like the video and share it with someone else who may have some questions about their inner vitality and hormones. And until I see you again, just remember that you are a gift to the world. So share your presence with passion. Much love, everyone. Thank you, Jill. Bye.
Thank you.
Listening to the Innate Vitality Code podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, rate the podcast, and subscribe. This helps me with getting my message out to a wider audience. For show notes and other episodes, visit innatevitality.com/podcast. That's vitality.com/podcast. You can also sign up for my free masterclass series. Each month, I take a deep dive into the topics of holistic healing, resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. Just visit innatevitality.com.